everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on a very busy Thursday, February the 4th, 2021, in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030's Voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Tucson City Councilman representing Ward 6, Democrat Steve Kasacek. Steve, how are you?
Doing well. I usually start off with a little small talk with you, but I know that you're very interested in the vaccination.
I am. Been trying to figure out what's going on, trying to get some clarity on it. The rumors kind of started this morning. I got actually a tip last night that 65 and over would be getting shots at the Tucson Convention Center as walk-ins. I understand now that has changed to 70 and over. What is the latest, Steve?
Yeah, I was on the phone with the guy who's running the program down there 10 minutes ago, and so I can give you the current and also how we got here. First of all, it's important for people to know. I also spoke with Chuck Huckleberry this morning, got some current data. It's important for people to know that the state is modulating the amount of doses that we get here locally. A couple of weeks ago, we had 30,000. This week, we've got 17. At the same time, they're cutting our doses. They're saying that they want to set up a 24/7 site out at the Rito track. So that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, because you can't reduce the number of vaccines that we have to work with, and then also open up a larger site. So what's happening at the Tucson Convention Center? We have had staff down there for a couple of weeks doing the vaccinations. The glitch occurs not at the TCC, but with the Tucson Medical Center, and I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm just explaining what's going on. The glitch is happening with the TMC registration site. TMC, their IT department is working on this, but what's happening is that for whatever reason, when people sign up at the TMC site, they're either not selecting the TCC or whatever the reason. But when the staff shows up at the TCC in the morning and they see we've only got 130 or 140 people registered for the day, and we've got, like, 2 days ago they gave out over 1,400 doses on Wednesday. So that what they're doing is when they show up and they find out that the TMC registration system has not fully populated the day, they immediately get on the phone and they're calling first responders, they're calling educators, they were calling 75 plus, and a couple of days ago it was 65 plus, and as recently as last night it was 65 plus, saying, come on down, because we're not going to let any doses go to waste. They have right now, already today, given about over 600 vaccinations. To right this minute, they have about 275 people standing in line. And that's the reason they bumped this, and this was in consultation with the Pima County Health Department, they bumped it back up to 70-plus for today. And so people who are going down there right now, if they're not in any of those three categories, 70-plus, education, or first responder, they're going to be told that today is not the day, because they're going to be oversubscribed already. The very strong likelihood is that as early as tomorrow's Friday, right? Yeah, as early as tomorrow, the county is going to announce that they are dropping from 75 down to 70 plus. This is the other thing to remember is that this is not necessarily being driven by Pima County Health Department. The State Health Department, Arizona State Department of Health, is the one who has been setting these priorities, who's in the pecking order. And I share each week in my newsletter, and we talked about it last time I was on, who's in Phase 1A and 1B. And so it's not as though Pima County and the city health people are saying, let's sort of decide unilaterally who we can give out to. Because a couple of weeks ago when this glitch happened the first time, TCC management again got on the phone and started calling people down. If you're in a vulnerable category, come on down. And the state took an issue with that. They said, hey, we want to make sure you're sticking with our pecking order, which at the time was 75. And our answer to them, our staff's answer to them was, sorry, but if we have a problem down here with our registration system, we're not going to let doses go to waste. So there are multiple moving pieces to it. The issue right now is today, 70 plus first responders and educators go down to the TCC. 10 minutes before I came on with you, the guy told me there's about a two-hour line right now. I know one of your emails said there was a four-hour wait, so they've chipped away at that. And as I said, they've had over 600 people get vaccinated already today. By now, it's probably over 700, given the rapidity in which they're moving through. I'll also say this. They've got about $50,000 worth of staff members in resources sitting down there waiting to dose people, waiting to vaccinate people. So we are not going to let doses go to waste. And I'll also say this. I am not an IT guy. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a real simple, you know, why don't you just set up a registration system to me? One of the reasons I've asked, when I asked the city manager, and this is something similar to what you had suggested in one of our exchanges, is why are we doing this by profession? And why not just open the doors?
I've been a big critic of that, and I've been speaking out. I think that time will tell that we made a mistake by not going age preference first. I could understand first responders being at the top of the list, but I would have put age. But that's beside the point at this. I like this over 70 idea, and I hope this will remain as a criterion.
So right now, it is not policy, but I believe you will see as soon as tomorrow that the Pima County Health people are saying 70 plus. I'd like to see it 65 plus, but the Monday, the registration system is going to very likely allow 70 plus educators and first responders. I don't know why this is so tough, but what I was going to say was when I suggested to the city manager, and this is just me talking to him as a layperson, saying, why don't we just do this by, you know, first come, first serve, let people come on down and sign just for a site.
Right.
It's because there are HIPAA laws. And so one of the reasons that the TMC is the sort of the conduit for this is because the privacy laws under HIPAA mandate that we can't just have somebody walk down and, you know, walk in and sign up. And so my answer to that was, look, nobody is going to walk up there and say, I'm not getting vaccinated unless you preserve my HIPAA privacy. They want to get vaccinated, right?
Yes.
So I think that the whole thing has got multiple bottlenecks that are based on law, on the state modulating the dosing, on the state setting who's in the priority area. And I will say, in their defense, Pima County Health is kind of pushing back at the state saying, we'll set our own rules locally. You get out of the way, but don't cut our doses. And that's been a real issue between the county and the state right now. And for the state to come in right now and say, we the state, want you to open up the Rito Park as on a 24/7 basis, at the same time they're cutting our doses in nearly half, that just simply means we're going to have less doses to take care of in other parts of the city. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Let's keep TCC. This is Bill talking here. This is my opinion, Steve Kasachek. Let's keep TCC as a walk-in facility, and if possible, expand it to the weekends or whatever we can do. That's what I would like to see. What's your thought?
I agree. We have the facilities down there. It's centrally located. The system is working very, very efficiently once people get there. And so I have absolutely no disagreement with that. Let's keep the TCC up and running. The most important piece is Pima, and Pima County has told the state this. We can use three times the number of doses that you're sending us right now easily and not have any left over. That would allow us to open up more sites around town. It would allow the state to come in and use the Rito track. It would allow us to open up sites on the south side and on the far east side without shutting the TCC down. The reverse seems to be happening, though, and I would say this, Maricopa County seems to be doing pretty darn well in terms of the number of doses that they're getting up there, while the county, Pima County, is seeing ours get dropped from 30 to 17,000. So there's some gamesmanship happening up at the state level, and it's not helpful. The other thing that's not helpful is having an IT system that keeps going wonky on the people over at TMC. And, you know, I know their IT folks are working feverishly to get the thing up and running. And But again, I'm not an IT guy, so I can't explain. And people would fall asleep if I tried to anyway, trying to explain what's going on with the glitches. But when our people show up at the TCC in the morning and they see we have 130 or 140 people registered, they've got to get on the phone lines, and that's what they've been doing. And that's been the nature of the confusion is, oh, my God, you know, now it's a walk-up site again.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's more on this. This is actually topic number one. I know there's a lot of other things going on in the city, but I want to continue to pursue this because I know that my listeners, the people I follow, are the people that follow me on Facebook, some 5,000 people, so many of them. This is topic number one. They want a shot, and they want it now. We're going to continue with Steve Kasachek, but right now I could use some comfort food after this stressful morning. I'll tell you, you know, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. Right now I'm into the cinnamon rolls. I can always go with a blueberry muffin. Pretty much any of their products are outstanding. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. More with Steve Kasachek right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. all of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our guests on the live line appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek is giving us the very latest on the situation at the Tucson Convention Center, where walk-ups can take the shot if you're over 65 and fit into one of the previously designated categories. I had a listener,
70 right now.
I said 65. Okay, yeah. I've been so confused about this.
Yeah. No, because earlier today it was 65.
Earlier today it was 65, and now it's 70. Thank you. A listener, Richard, during the break said, since the pharmaceuticals have this or are getting it, is there a way for the city of Tucson to purchase, or Pima County to make a purchase directly without the state being involved?
They being the Pima County health people who are the lead dog on this sled, have had those conversations, but they right now the federal government, so this has obviously multiple city, state, county, and federal are involved in this food chain, and so we have not gotten any kind of response from the feds in terms of whether or not we can make a direct purchase. The state right now is the first conduit. So no, we can't. And then the federal government is the one who's allocating these to the pharmacies, you know, the Walgreens and the CVSs. During the break, I called down there again to find TCC to get another update and also to clarify what's going on. TMC, Tucson Medical Center, is right now backlogged with 75-plus people until mid-March. So we have got to, because you mentioned walk-up site and weekends and all that.
Yeah.
We've got to find a way to expand the number of locations that we're doing this. Right now, the convention center is Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. They are looking at going to weekends and shift work later in the day, so that shift workers can get down there. If I work until, you know, whatever, 7 o'clock, I can't.
Right.
That is going to be absolutely essential when we get to the 1B2 phase, which is essential shift workers. The bottleneck right now is that we are staffing the TCC with Tucson Fire Department personnel, with redeployed city workers, with TMC IT, their IT team are down there. And so the challenge right now is, how do we keep this going without burning out the people who are doing this work, you know, right now on a pretty full time and rigorous basis. And so we're looking at ways to kind of tweak the shift, but right now the bottleneck on getting the weekend and late shift work is simply a staffing issue and the number of doses. I mean, I don't want to leave the tagline on every one of these sentences has got to be that we are getting shorted by the state in terms of the number of doses that we get down here. So even if we had this 24/7 site, it would simply mean, okay, then let's take doses from the TCC. And like I said earlier, they did 1,430 doses on Wednesday. They're going to do over 1,000 today. If we have to send some of those doses over the retail for the state to operate something over there, it's simply going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul. And guess what? We are both Peter and Paul in this conversation. So someone's going to get screwed in that conversation and in that transaction. And the answer ultimately is getting the state to open the floodgate and get us the 3 times the number of doses that they're giving us right now, so we can do the kinds of things we're talking about: extending shifts, opening weekends, opening up more sites, That is the ultimate bottleneck right now that the county is wrestling with.
Well, I think this has to be the number one priority for the city of Tucson. I know there are other issues going on, but I'm telling you, we've somehow, Steve Kasachek, have to make this happen to get the initial step. Let's get TCC opened on the weekend, 8 to 5, but we've got to move forward. We can't expect people, as you just said, the appointments being booked for 75 and plus at Tucson Medical Center are into mid-March. That's right. Not acceptable.
Right. I 100% agree. And I know Teresa Cullen would agree. I know Francisco Garcia, Chuck Huckleberry, Mike Ortega, everybody would agree with that statement. And so I know you've got a lot of followers, a lot of listeners, Facebook and over the air here. One of the most important things that people can do is to let Dr. Crist and Governor Ducey know that we have the demand, we have the capacity, what we lack is the doses. And that's what we need down here right now. We had the month of January, I mean, this is not as though we're on a glide path to seeing this end. We had over 31,000 new cases in the month of January. That's the highest we have ever had in Pima County, only second to December when it was 29,000. So people are talking about, well, it's plateauing, it's slowing down. We also have three new variants that are coming into the mix that are more contagious, perhaps more deadly. And so this is not a situation where, okay, we're at the back end of this and people can wait until April to get their vaccination. We got to do it now. And so I would really encourage all the people that follow you to reach out to the State Department of Health and the governor to say, don't forget Pima County. We're not your poor stepchild down here. We're the second largest region in the state, and we've got over 1 million people down here. In my newsletter each week, I kind of track the combination of number of people vaccinated, number of people vaccinated versus the number of people infected, to kind of see how we're chipping away at the getting closer to the 70% for herd immunity. Where if you combine the number of people who've been vaccinated with the number of people who've gotten the virus, it's about 20% of the population here. We're a long ways from this herd immunity thing. And the virus is not going away by itself. So I agree with you. It's the number one issue for the region.
So if you show up down there and you're over 70 and you fit into one of the categories, is the paperwork done there like you do if you go to a Walgreens or CVS for a flu shot? How does that work?
Yes. And just again to clarify, being over 70 is one of the categories.
Is the category, and I should have said being over 70 and the other categories that have already been announced, educators, first responders.
Right. So, yes, and so the answer to your question is yes. They do the paperwork on site. It's really an efficient system. You'll get to the front of the line and you'll sign in and they'll take your temperature and do all that kind of stuff at the door. Make sure you got a mask on. I'm saying this so that people know they're walking into a safe environment. Then you walk into one of the ballrooms and they have computer stations scattered around the room where the volunteers are working, and they'll at that point sign you up. So you do all the paperwork right down there. They don't have to go online before they get there and mess with that part of the system. And once they sign you up, they send you over to a table. You get your shot, and then they send you into another room. You sit for 15 minutes to make sure you're not having an adverse reaction, and then you're on your way. One of the reasons that this has just popped into my head, one of the reasons that Pima County and was insistent earlier on that they use hospital locations for the 75-plus mm-hmm. was because they were concerned about an adverse reaction of a vulnerable senior, and they wanted to make sure that they were at a healthcare setting mm-hmm. in case that happened. They have not been seeing people get adverse reactions to these shots, and that's another one of the reasons that they're very likely going to drop the age down to locations that are away from healthcare settings, because, you know, why – you know, again, spread people out to mid-March if they really don't need to be there. And they're not seeing people passing out from getting these. What they're seeing is people get a sore arm for, you know, a couple of days, just like with a flu shot. And that's what they're seeing.
So let's summarize here. I've got less than 2 minutes. Today, TCC is open until 5 o'clock, and then tomorrow, I assume, same hours, right?
Correct.
And then is there any way to possibly do Saturday or Sunday this weekend?
It's not going to happen this weekend. I don't want to lie to you.
Could it happen? Could it happen next weekend?
It can happen as soon as three things happen. Number one, the doses increase. Number two, we have a better staffing situation. And number three, that we continue to work with the state in terms of the categories that we're kind of going off. You know, we're singing off the sheet of music that the state put in front of us in terms of prioritization. Chuck Huckleberry and Teresa Cullen may get some pushback from Ducey tomorrow by saying, we didn't tell you could go to 70 plus. And their answer will be, just get out of our way, send us the doses. We're going to do it. And this doesn't need to turn into a political game of political gamesmanship.
There you go. All right, Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for the latest update on what's going on and about the I've had some folks Facebook me during the show. They say it's about 2 hour wait right now. So that's
right, too.
Yeah, there you go. Steve, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Hey, you too, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Show. Welcome back to the program on a very busy Thursday. Tomorrow, our newsmaker interview, the Friday Focus interview, will be with Chris Magnus, the Tucson Police Department chief. He'll be with us at noon. Zocalo Village is a part of Green Things, and they have such beautiful Talavera pottery, antiques, that handmade furniture, much of it from all over the world, really, at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Green Things, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals. Open daily, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, Dr. David Levy is with us on the live line, our contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, quite renowned as one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, 23 and still counting. Dr. Levy, how are you?
Well, hi, Bill. It's good to hear your voice today.
Good to hear your voice as well. David, I want to begin. Whatever happened to the James Webb telescope? Was that project put on hold?
Well, the last I heard about it is that the telescope, which is designed to replace the Hubble Space Telescope and to go a lot further into space than the Hubble did, is now scheduled to launch this October. I think October the, isn't it October the 31st on Halloween?
Wow.
And I think that they're saying that everything is scheduled for it. There are no issues, and it looks like that's going to happen. But they've had a lot of delays with that telescope. It was first scheduled to launch maybe as much as 10 years ago, and they've kept on delaying it and delaying it. And it seems, Bill, to me that the time to launch is a constant. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we're still hoping for a launch around Halloween this year. The interesting thing is that unlike the Hubble, if the same problem happens that they had when they launched the Hubble back in 1990, they're not going to be able to fix it. They don't have the means to go out there, bring the mirror back, or may add things to it. So it's got to work right out of the store. And let's hope that happens, and I'm really concerned about that.
Hey, David, what do stars and people have in common?
Stars are people, too, Bill. And I think that's a good thing. That was the first proposal I made for an article in Astronomy Magazine. Hmm. The first four words were stars are people, too. And then I was talking with the editor of that magazine, and he said, I accepted the article that you proposed, sight unseen, based on those four words. Hmm. Those were priceless. And I'm trying to talk about the lifetime of a star. And stars are born with very, childlike attributes. They flicker, change in brightness a lot. But then as the star gets a little bit older and to mature, turns into our sun, it has maybe a very slow, mild rotation that you can't really notice. I mean, mild cycle that we do notice only with the ebbing and flowing of the sunspots. But then as the star gets older, it develops the infirmities of old age. A star like our sun will have a helium flash, and then eventually when its hydrogen is burnt out and starts to use its helium, then it'll use up its helium faster and then go into heavier things like carbon and oxygen, and then become a red giant and then a white dwarf star. For much more massive stars, the carbon will begin to fuse the oxygen, and then eventually, on one drastic day, it will become that'll all fuse to iron. And iron simply cannot fuse to anything else. And so the core of the star will collapse, the star will completely break apart, and there will be what you call a supernova, where for a few months the star can outshine the brightness of the entire galaxy of which it is a part. And so that's kind of the brief. outline of stars are people too.
And let me ask you, in terms of if you were like comparing human age, is our star, the sun, a middle-aged star or a young person or what?
I'd say our sun is middle-aged. Hmm. We've got about 5 billion years left.
Well, that's
so
good.
So, Bill, if you're planning to stay around a long time,
you'll be
able to see our star for a very long time.
That's very good. Before we go to the quote of the month, the winter nights have been very pretty, haven't they?
They've been gorgeous, and I'm hoping we're getting a clear night tonight. I'm going to go out and try to do some observing a little bit this evening. Not too much, but a little bit this evening, and I'm still looking for comets. Don't expect to find any more, but I'm still doing it.
Boy, I've got my fingers crossed for you. Now it's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month. Dr. Levy.
Okay, Sevilla D. Martin wrote a very beautiful religious poem called His Eye is on the Sparrow. I changed it to make it much more secular, and it's called My Eye is on the Sky, and it goes like this. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to the sky. From care it sets me free. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me.
Very nice. Dr. David Levy coming up. His next visit on March the 4th. March 4th, as they say.
March 4th. It's the only day of the year that is a sentence.
Yes, it is. All right. Good to know. David, thank you very much. Stay safe. Our love to Wendy. You guys hang in there. Thank you.
Thanks. Wendy says hi.
All right. Dr. David Levy for his monthly visit on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. And we have the counselor in the house, Don Luce, with a very important, he'll be talking about a very important issue. Can your employer mandate that you take the COVID-19 shot? That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust. by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Hello, everybody. Back in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios, a very busy day here at KVOI, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They're anxious. I'm anxious to be able to get in the car and really go somewhere like New Mexico. But right now, they're not open to out-of-state visitors. We're hoping that changes very soon as the numbers look better. The case load with COVID continues to diminish over in New Mexico. So you can start planning right now, though, by going to southwestnewmexico.org for that 3-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where there is so much to do in a beautiful area of the Southwest. Don Luce is with me, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Shell legal contributor, author of two very popular books. The titles are Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books doing very well, so much so they're both in their second printing. Don, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Always a pleasure to see you. And we're continuing with the theme that we began with at the top of our program today, Don Luce, and that's concerning the COVID-19 vaccine. While people are scrambling, Don, to find a shot, a location that they can get the shot, there's also some questions about can an employer mandate that you get the shot?
That's a really good and complicated question, Bill. I suppose the place to start is who's the employer? Is the employer unionized or non-unionized? In Arizona, the question is probably answered with non-union because we have very few unionized places of work. But if there is a union involved, an employer is going to have to bargain with the union if it wishes to mandate that the employees get vaccinated. So that's the threshold question. Is there a collective bargaining agreement in place? If there is, then bargaining is required. Most employers in Arizona, however, are not unionized. They're non-union employers, which means that you then go to the next threshold question, which is, how big is the employer? If the employer has 15 or more employees, then the American with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 both apply. And what that means is there are exceptions that employees can assert to the mandate. So let's take an employer with, let's say, 20 employees for purposes of our discussion. If one or more of the employees asserts that based on their sincerely held religious beliefs, they don't want to get vaccinated, then the employer is going to have to try to find a reasonable accommodation for that employee. Because under Title VII, sincerely held religious beliefs are protected. And an employer cannot require, an employer, I should say, that is subject to Title VII, cannot require an employee to get vaccinated if it goes against their sincerely held religious beliefs. And that employer must try to find a reasonable accommodation.
What would a reasonable accommodation be in a case like a COVID shot?
Okay, so we have to look at several factors, and there's no bright line rule. It is a case-by-case determination. Mm-hmm. It depends on the nature of the workforce, the demographic of the workforce, whether the job can be done remotely, whether the employee can be isolated within the workforce, whether the employee can take a leave of absence. All of those factors have to be considered by the employer in determining whether a reasonable accommodation can be made. And by the way, a reasonable accommodation is something that the employer is required to provide unless, and there's an exception to the exception, it creates an undue hardship for the employer. And if it does create an undue hardship, then a reasonable accommodation does not need to be made. But that's more than just an inconvenience. That's more than a de minimis harm to the employer in order for an undue hardship to be found to exist. There's another part of this too that's kind of important to understand, and that is an employer under the ADA, which also requires a reasonable accommodation if there's a bona fide disability, is not required to permit the employee in the workplace if to do so would constitute a direct threat. So the EEOC has said that employers, in evaluating some of the factors, should consider the duration of the risk, the nature and severity of the potential harm, the likelihood that the potential harm will occur, and the imminence of the potential harm. It's, as I hope is clear, it's a case-by-case analysis based on a number of factors having to do primarily with, can the employer accommodate an objection that is based on a disability or a religious belief without incurring undue hardship itself? And if so, then I would suggest that the employer has that obligation. But not all employers in Arizona have 15 or more employees. Mm-hmm. We know that to be true because a lot of employers have 3, 5, 7 employees.
Small business.
They are not subject to the requirements that I've just discussed with regard to the ADA or Title VII. In fact, Arizona is an at-will employment state. What that means is, unless you have a written contract with your employer, you're an at-will employee. And an at-will employee may be terminated at any time with or without cause. So what I'm suggesting is, if an employer has less than 15 employees, that employer is freer to mandate that its employees get vaccinated, and the penalty for not doing that might very well be termination of employment.
Aha.
And that is not something that, under the current legal strictures, is illegal. Now, an interesting side note, I think, is that OSHA, which is adopted in Arizona and enforced through the Industrial Commission, requires every employer to provide a safe workplace, all right?
Right.
That's a general requirement.
Sure.
So what happens, and there's really no good answer to this question yet legally, what happens if the employer does not require its employees to get vaccinated when the vaccine is readily available?
Right, right.
And someone gets sick or dies because they came into contact with that employee who came into the workplace with the virus. What happens then?
An unvaccinated person who tests positive and has COVID. So that's a huge issue too, or could be.
Well, I would submit that at some point in the next year or two, when vaccinations become more readily available,
where you can walk into any pharmacy, like you get a flu shot and get a COVID shot,
and it's not difficult to get a vaccination, if an employer doesn't require or encourage its employees to get vaccinated and someone gets sick or dies as a result of that, I would suggest that we're going to see that tested in the courts, because the family of the decedent or the injured employee is probably going to bring a claim saying, you did not provide a safe workplace for me, and you violated the OSHA requirement that requires every employer to provide a safe workplace. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch play out. Also, I would suggest that employers, whether they require their employees to get vaccinations or they simply encourage their employees to get vaccinations, have a written policy regarding what it is that they're doing. If it's required, and let's say you have 14 or fewer employees, and one of your employees refuses to get vaccinated, then you might have a basis to terminate that employee. But if you don't terminate that employee in violation of the policy, then as an employer, you may be discriminating against your workforce on that basis, right? Mm-hmm. So I would also suggest that rather than have a mandate, mm-hmm. Employers consider having a plan in place to encourage the employees to get vaccinated. They can provide incentives. They can mm-hmm. pay bonuses for employees who get vaccinated. They can give paid time off mm-hmm. to employees who get vaccinated. They can make it easy for employees to get vaccinated once the vaccine is readily available by bringing on-site people who can administer the vaccine. So there are a lot of things that employers can do short of requiring that all of the employees get vaccinated, because as I mentioned, if that is the requirement, if that's the employer mandate, and an employee fails to follow that mandate, then I would suggest that the employer is left with little recourse but to terminate the employee.
I would suggest, and you'll probably second this, that if you're an employer, you should be thinking about this right now and drawing up policies.
Absolutely, because based on what we know, it's likely that the vaccine is going to be readily available within the next 3 to 4 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. And at that juncture, employers need to take a position on whether their workforce is required to be vaccinated or whether they're simply encouraging their employees to be vaccinated by some sort of an incentive program.
Did I hear you say that if you are a small business with less than 14 employees, an employee can be terminated without cause in Arizona?
That does not have a size limitation. Any employer who does not have a contract with its employees is employing their workers at will and can terminate their workers with or without cause at any time. Now, there are some limitations. You can't terminate an employee for a wrongful purpose, but you don't have to show cause for the termination.
All right. The books, Handbook for Non-Lawyers, Arizona Laws 101, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing, Don Lucen. The estate planning is so important at the first of the year. It's important throughout the year, but people think about their what I should do when a new year begins, and now's the time to do it. Right, Don?
Right, and a lot of our clients are looking at their existing estate plans and reminding themselves that they haven't updated them in years, and there are things in their existing plan that need to be changed.
Yep.
We're finding specifically a lot of people concerned with their healthcare powers of attorney and their living wills, because those are documents that really go to the issue of who's going to make medical decisions for them if they're not able to make their own.
All right, Don Luce, always a pleasure to see you. We will see you in early March. Thanks, Don.
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, hope we've given you some very good information that you can use during this noon hour. Tomorrow, Police Chief Chris Magnus will be our Friday Focus interview. Have a great afternoon.